One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 27th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Chapter 57, Book 133 of the Barber Family Saga. Today, Pinky makes an announcement. There's a springtime slant to the fading sunlight outside the tall north windows in Paul Barber's studio at the top of the house. Pausing in his work to glance up at the clock, he's surprised to find that the afternoon is gone. It's 5 o'clock. He presses against the firm back of the swivel chair and lifts his arms in a long, slow stretch, whereupon...
Come on in. Hey, out there, come in. Claudia,
well, well.
It's 5 o'clock and I didn't hear the typewriter.
Your timing's perfect. I just discovered there's spring in the air. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. Have you seen Pinky?
Not today.
You haven't seen his black eye?
No. How'd he get it?
I asked him that. He said ordinarily you have to fight to acquire a black eye, but he was just standing there talking when Hank hit him.
I can't believe it. What was he saying?
Nobody knows for sure. Mom thinks it has something to do with Greta. Goodness, you're out of touch. Where have you been?
Right here with my head down. I've got a deadline for Aviation Weekly. Oh, it's okay. About 3 more pages, and I've got until midnight. Here, sit here.
I wanted to talk to you about Penny. That's why I came over. She's been avoiding Nicky and me, and Mrs. McCullough says... Oh, wait, somebody on the stairs.
Oh, sorry, I want to get out of this uniform.
Go on through, Hank. How are you?
I'm okay.
How's Tina today? Have you seen her?
That's where I'm going now. Excuse me, I've got a dinner date. I'm going to change.
That's not like Hank. He's grumpy.
And probably with right good reason. Where's Pinky now?
In his bathroom, watching his eyes swell up.
I'll have to dig out the story. Well, now, what's this about Penny? Start at the beginning.
Well, we've got her back home all right. But as Nicky said at lunch, all we've got is the body. She comes in from the shop, says hello, goes to her room, and that's all we see of her. 2 nights now, she's had a tray. She gets out in the morning before I'm up. And last night, long toward morning, must have been after 2, Nicky heard her sobbing. He tapped on her door, but she didn't answer. Pretended to be asleep. Mrs. McCullough got a glimpse of her when she left this morning. She looked dreadfully drawn and tired, Mrs. McCullough said. Has she been over here lately?
Yes, a couple of times. Well, now, wait. About a week ago now.
She's very troubled, Paul. Do you know why?
I might come up with a theory or two.
Charlie Bennett sold out his interest in the business. He's moving east. Do you think Penny was in love with him, after all?
No. This could be a delayed reaction to Zenith Bennett's suicide. Guilt, self-doubt.
Penny? Self-doubt?
Well, something's stirring there. She surprised me by saying... Well, maybe I'd better not.
Oh, please.
Well, I'll say this much. Penny asked for help.
My word.
Yeah. First time, isn't it?
The very first.
Remember those oriental glass chimes Mom used to have hanging downstairs in the hall when we were kids? Made a musical tinkling sound when the breeze went through?
Don't mention the year. That's too long ago.
Well, they came to mind when Penny was here, lamenting with tears in her eyes that she was incapable of feeling any emotion. She was reacting like glass chimes in a breeze, but claiming she was afraid to let herself go. Afraid to love.
Oh, I see.
The days go by so fast. I don't know why she hasn't been back. Tell her for me, I'm never too busy to see her.
It might be better if you told her that yourself.
Okay, I'll drop in, maybe tonight. If I get this piece in the mail at a decent hour. Come. Oh, Pinky, come on in.
Oh, excuse me. Hi, Aunt Claudia. I didn't know you were here. I'll come back later.
Come here, Pink. Wow.
Yeah, this is the worst black eye I ever saw.
Hadn't you better have that looked at?
Who by? The same doctor who gave it to me?
Hank, come here a minute.
Oh, sorry, I'm going back to Jones now.
Look here, what should he do for this?
Make sure he doesn't get 2 of them.
Why?
Was that Hank? Oh, now, wait a minute.
Brother, did I get down past the veneer on that guy? There he goes, everybody's hero. Whopped me with no warning at all. I got over that kind of fighting when I was 8 years old. Well, I'll come back. I'm going to talk to you before I go to work.
No, you stay, Pinky. I'm going over and see if I can help with Tina.
Glad you dropped in, Claude.
You'll be over after dinner, then?
I'll walk up to the post box and stop on my way back.
You better put a beefsteak on that, Pinky. Isn't that the classic treatment? Bye-bye, Paul.
See you.
Uncle Paul, can you spare half an hour, or even maybe 45 minutes, or possibly an hour?
What's on your mind?
I've had a lot of time to think lately, working nights. I'm going to reorganize my whole life.
Well, that's an interesting project. Sit down, son. You must be born again, huh?
Exactly. I've decided to marry Greta after all, and I wanted you to be the first to know.
Repeat that, please.
Yeah, you heard me. Maybe you'd better sit down, too.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
Want to learn Tamil, Hindustani? They are the languages spoken in southern and northern India. Marine Corps Sergeant Hubert R. Turpin learned them. And because he did, he won himself a wife and a job as a right-hand man to a Maharaja. The wife he has now. The job will come after his 20-year Marine Tour expires. Sergeant Turpin learned the languages while he was with the security guard at the American Consulate in Madras, India. He parlayed the language with spare liberty and a motorcycle to promote himself as representative of his country. In one town, which was a frequent stop-off, was a girl, Jean Florence Allen, daughter of Anglo-Indian and Irish parents. In 21 months, he married her. The Maharaja? Sergeant Turpin formed a fast friendship with Ramaswamy Chettanand, one of India's wealthiest men. He offered the Marine a job as overseer on his plantations. When he retires from the Marine Corps at 37, Sergeant Turpin plans to accept the Maharaja's offer. As the sergeant put it, "You're a representative of your country while serving abroad. The important thing is the kind of person you are, what you say and do." In other words, Sergeant Turpin is saying, "You are an American. As you go, so goes America."
Paul stares at the tense, slim, red-headed figure with his grotesque black eye.
Is that why Hank hit you? Because you announced you're going to marry his girl?
He just thinks she's his girl. All I said to him was, I found her first, and I did, too. And I'd be married to her now if I hadn't chickened out of it. And, well, what I said was, he got her on the rebound, and I'd bet him $10 if I opened my hand, she'd bound right back.
And he hit you?
Yeah, without warning.
Well, Pink, whenever you say a thing like that, be ready to duck.
Well, it's true, though. She was engaged to me. We even had a subdivision picked out and an automatic washer. The only reason she finally turned me down was because I couldn't whip up enough enthusiasm for married life. But I was young. That was 2 years ago. Okay, so our hero came along, good old steady-going, even-tempered Hank, you know, and she turned to him on the rebound, the same way I turned to Santa Sears 7.
That I wanted to ask you. What about Santa?
I don't know, Uncle Paul. She'll never change. She's a beatnik.
But you were engaged to her.
Yeah, sort of.
You took me out of here at midnight to meet her. Is that all over?
She likes to sit around in coffee houses in black pants, black sweater, and hair in her eyes. We've been drifting apart.
What about her father?
Huh?
Well, didn't Mr. Sears give you a job because you were going to be a member of the family?
Well, don't worry about that, Uncle Paul. I've made good on the job. No, really, I had two raises. I'm getting $135 a week now, plus restaurant tabs. Mr. Sears likes me. Mr. Sears is very fond of me. I'm like a son to him.
Oh, Pinky, Pinky, Pinky.
No, that's a fact. We got a relationship that hasn't anything to do with his daughter. He told the auditor, Mr. Birdwell, I'm the only night manager he ever saw who didn't steal naps. I'm wide awake, all night. I work. I either write advertising for the hotels or work on fiction. And look how close I came to selling that article to the British Home and Fireside Journal. If it hadn't happened to get there 1 hour after the deadline, I'd be in print right now. I'd be a British author with 14 guineas in the bank.
Now, hold on a second. Let's backtrack here. There's a key question we've overlooked.
Yes, sir?
What about Greta? Where does she stand? The last I heard, she was planning to marry Hank after this current trip.
Well, sure, that's the plan, but the point is she still loves me.
Has she said so?
Well, she revealed it.
How?
I wrote her how I felt, and she sent me an answer that sizzled the paper. Brother, did she take off?
Repeat, slowly. She was angry?
Yeah, it's very revealing. I'll show it to you. It burns the paper, but down underneath... Uh-huh. You know, she's still got those beautiful memories of me. She used to talk about having 7 red-headed sons, you know? It was her first dream of being married. If she didn't still love me, would she have got that mad? And when she comes back, I'm going to ask her to pick up where we left off. We'll run over to Reno and have it done.
What about Hank?
That's tough. I found her first.
You'll have to get out of here, Pinky.
Huh? You don't want to talk about it?
No. No, I really don't. I have a deadline. You really shock me, William. Run along, will you? I'd like a little time to think this one over.
More of the Barbers in just a moment.
This is Bill Goodwin. You know, someone once said humor is the true democracy. And that's why we Americans can smile when we tell the stories of the legendary heroes who helped to build our country's great institutions and industries. Now, in Pennsylvania, for example, building contractors brag about their 8-foot demon brick setter from Williamson County. They tell about the time he rode into a town sitting on a wild panther, using a rattlesnake with 17 rattles for a whip. First, he dropped into a bar and asked for a nitric acid cocktail with a little sulfuric for a chaser. Then he got his hair cut with a pair of tin shears and shaved with a blowtorch. Then he took over a brick-setting job. And what a worker he was. When he dropped his bricks into place, it sounded like hail on a tin roof. And when he slapped on the mortar, sparks flew like it was the 4th of July. He had 14 men bringing him bricks, and they moved so fast they met themselves coming back. But they were too slow for the demon brick-setter, so he took off his shoes, picked up the bricks with his toes while he continued to set them in place with his hand. By sundown, the building was finished and rented. The rest of the bricklayers in the country were so impressed that from that day on, they have tried to beat the record of the demon bricksetter from Williamson County. And that's why today America has the biggest and best constructed buildings in the world. Yes, it is a democracy which lets us tell the stories of such legendary heroes with a twinkle in our eyes and a chuckle in our throat. And so long as we continue to laugh together as a people, ladies and gentlemen, we will live together as a nation.
It's 40 minutes later. Paul comes down to the last paragraph of the final page when...
Yes?
Uncle Paul, I'm over at Jones.
Yes, Hank?
Tina is a pretty sick little girl. I'm taking her to the clinic.
Oh, I'm sorry. What can I do?
Well, first, will you call Warrant Officer Hopkins for me? I was going to have dinner with him, but I can't make it now, and his line is busy.
I'll take care of it.
And when you get time, come over to the clinic and take Joan and Ray back home. In a hospital, parents are kind of in the way.
Okay, Hank. Anything else?
Yeah. Say a prayer.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. In Chapter 58, Book 133, The Return of Greta Stephenson. Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, now in its 27th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.
One Man's Family has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.